Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Seems like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
When I have the right view of my life through the lens of the Word of God, it always brings hope to my heart. There's no more perilous pursuit than a life lived out of a selfish vision or selfish ambition. Today we learn of the hope that a godly vision brings. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 27 and find the hope that God wants to give to each and every one of us. There's a lot of meanness in this world today. There's a lot of cruelty in this world today. Psalm 38:16 says, "For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me." Do you have someone at work like that? You ever had another Christian like that? They're just waiting for your foot to slip so they can magnify your fault. That's what David was feeling in his heart. He said, it just seems like people can't wait for me to do something bad. It seems like they meditate on how they can treat me more cruelly. That was David's hurt. And I say to you this morning that everyone in this room has a hurt in their heart today. And if it's not present today, there will be sometime in the future, because this is a part of life on this planet. It is a part of human nature. And David had a heart filled with hurt. But I want you to see not only the hurt of David, but I want you to see the heart of David this morning. I want you to see that David had, yes, a hurting heart, but he also had a believing heart. I want you to see this in Psalm 27 and verse 8. It says, "When thou saidst, seek my face." In other words, when God said to David, "Seek ye my face," notice this phrase, "my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Now listen very carefully. Before you said to your family, "Let's go to church," in your heart there was a desire this morning to come to church. Before you do something kind for your wife or say something kind to your wife, there's something in your heart that's kind towards your wife.
And we see here in the Word of God that David had, first of all, a compliant heart or a moldable heart. He was not a hard-hearted man. He was a tender-hearted man. And he said, my heart said, I will seek the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. And David had a heart that was pure. James chapter 4 speaks about the heart when it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How I thank God today for the cleansing work of the Bible to cleanse our hearts, because all of us can have hardness and pride and wrong thoughts that come into our hearts. It's only the Word of God that can cleanse us from that. What a blessing when God works. God's been working in the lives of some of our teenagers in our church these last few weeks. And I've received some tremendous notes from some of our teenagers just saying how God's been at work in their heart. I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing when that's happening. What a thrill. We had a godly secretary in our church years ago. Some of you remember her. Her name was Lori Thomason. Lori was one of the most thankful women I ever knew. Lori never complained. Lori was a woman who just encouraged others. She was highly efficient in her walk with God and in her work here at the church. And I remember when Lori came down with cancer and began to go through the various treatments. And this past week, I just took some time to read many of the notes and cards and memos she sent me through those days. I want to say 20 or 30 correspondences. Never once a complaint. Never once a why me. I remember time and again that godly young woman in her mid-20s as I stood at her hospital bedside, and as she said things to me like this, she said, Pastor, I dedicated my life as a teenager to Jesus. She said, I married a preacher. She said, my heart's desire was that God would be glorified through my life. That's what my heart's desire is, that I could live for Jesus. And then she said several times, but if it's not His will for me to live, if I can glorify Him through my death, then I want God to be glorified no matter what. Oh, the heart that that woman had, that heart to seek God's will, to seek to glorify God. So many who were around Lori, so many who gave emotional attention to her cause are not even in church this morning. Why is that? Because they did not have that same tender heart that Lori had. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing more important in this life than keeping a tender, moldable heart for God. And David said, Lord, when you asked me to seek your face, I didn't argue about it. I just sought your face. He said, I want to seek your face. He said, God, I want to follow your path. Notice in verse 11, the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Notice, if you would, the word plain. It means a level place. It means a righteous place. It means a straight place. Hey, teenagers, here's a great verse. God wants us to look for the straight path, not the crooked path, not the dark corners of life, not the troubled places of life. David said, I want the right path for my life. I want to go in the right direction. David had a compliant heart. David also had a confident heart. He had a heart that even though his enemies attacked, even though troubles came, God was going to work in his life. Notice in verse 3 of Psalm 27, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Turn, if you would, in your Bible for a moment to Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6. Just hold your place in Psalm 27. But I want you to see a verse today that helps us to realize why we can be confident in the difficulties of this life. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And as he writes to them in the introductory verses, the Holy Spirit of God leads him to say these words. Being confident of this very thing. In other words, God says, I don't want you to wonder or doubt or be wishy-washy. I want you to be confident of this very thing, that He, speaking of Jesus Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, that good work that God started in you the day you got saved, God's not going to quit that good work until the day He calls us home. And you can be confident that when trials come, God has a reason for it. You can be confident that when difficulty comes into your life, when hurt comes into your heart, it's not captured God by surprise. He has a reason for it. Listen to me. There is nothing. There is no circumstance. There is no trouble. There is no testing. There is no trial that can ever touch me or can ever touch you until it has first passed God, and then it will come to me. All of the fiery trials are Father filtered. And as a Christian, one of the reasons we don't despair or quit is because we know that no matter what happens in this life, there is still a God in heaven who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, and gasoline may be $3 an hour, and there may be criminals living down the street, but there is a God in heaven who hasn't forgot your address. He's going to see you through your trial. He's going to see you through your difficulty. God says, I want you to realize that sometimes I let some inconvenience into your life, not so that you'll go away from me, but so that you'll open my heart to me. The hurt of David was real, and the heart of David for God was sincere. Let's notice then finally the hope of David. The hope that David had. Even with enemies who wanted to treat him cruelly, even with trials that were very real, here's a man who kept on hoping. And you know, when tough times come, we don't need people despairing and blaming and cursing and criticizing. We need people who are hoping and trusting and believing and waiting on God. And I want you to see this in verse 13, and I want you to really try to get the feeling of it today as we read God's word. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I want you to see that David's hope is a believing hope. David says, I had fainted. He says, I had almost fallen down. I had almost quit. Hey, Christian friend, have you ever come to a place in your life where you were thinking of quitting? Times had gotten tough. The family wasn't going the way you wanted it to go. Things weren't going good at work. And one problem after another, and you just about fell by the wayside. You just about said, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm going to go do something else. David said, I had fainted. I had almost quit until I believed. I believed. And he says, when I believed, then I saw the goodness of the Lord. Somebody say, well, when I see some things getting better, then I might get more faithful to God. That's not how it's going to work. God says, I want to see some faith in your life first. I want to see you believe. If you're taking notes, the word believe means to stand firm upon. It means to trust. The word to see means to perceive. So when someone stands firm on the Word of God, when someone claims the promises of the Word of God, now then, their paradigm is different. Now they say, there are problems all around me, but God is going to see me through this. God has a purpose for this. He's going to bless me through this. And I'm going to keep my faith in Him. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Someone says, well, why is this problem happening in my life? Why is this problem happening in my family? Why am I going through this difficulty? Let me tell you something. You will not understand it apart from faith. And when you start walking by sight, it's not going to make sense. But when you put your faith in God, all of a sudden, that believing hope makes a difference in your life. Psalm 31 and verse 19 says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. David had a believing hope. David had, secondly, an encouraging hope. An encouraging hope. Notice, if you would, in verse 14 what the Bible says. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, someone who's waiting on the Lord and trusting in the Lord, they're going to be an encouragement to you. They're not going to go, oh, the sky is falling. They're not going to be an Eeyore Christian. Oh, boy, life's coming to an end. Oh, no, what am I going to do? How are we going to get through the problem? How's this going to get done? It's the governor's fault. It's the president's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's Brother Schmidt's fault. It's everybody's fault. That's not the spirit of a faith-filled Christian. A faith-filled Christian says in verse number 14, I'm just going to wait on God, and God's going to strengthen my heart. God has a purpose for this. God is still in control. Listen, storms don't catch God by surprise. Trials don't catch God by surprise. And David said, I'm going to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Notice, he had a believing hope. He had an encouraging hope. Notice, thirdly, he had an everlasting hope. David had an everlasting hope. Would you look at something in verse 4? And I really want you to see this. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Now just ponder that for a minute. Paul the apostle said, this one thing I do. He didn't say, these 57 things I dabble in. He said, there's one thing I'm consumed with. The psalmist says, there's one thing I'm consumed with. One thing will I seek after. Notice this. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David had a great longing for the earthly temple. One thing he focused on was his relationship with the Lord. One direction, one goal, one desire. If you know anything about David's life, he wanted that temple to be built. God would not let him build it because he had been a man of war. And so he let his son Solomon build the temple. But David spent his entire life saving timber and saving materials and gold and silver and getting everything ready for that temple. In his lifetime, he worshiped God in the tabernacle. But he thought about that temple. He dreamed about communing with God in that temple. And I say to you today that this was indicative of his spirit to know God. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, set your affection on things that are above, not on things of this earth. God wants us to be in love with him. God wants us to realize that people need the Lord. Listen, we sent a team down to help the Katrina victims. We didn't just send them with toothbrushes and toothpaste, though we sent some of those types of things. We also sent them with the gospel. For the Bible says, what does it prosper a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? How many of you know that when you involve yourself in the local church, you're involving yourself in something that is eternal, where men and women might trust Christ and have a home in heaven for all of eternity? We need to set our affection on those kinds of things. The Christian church, this some would call an auditorium or a sanctuary or a worship center, whatever you call it, this is a gathering place where we worship God, where we have our minds enlightened and our hearts encouraged and the perplexities of life removed, and where we may be sanctified for the use of the Lord Jesus Christ. This ought to be a place that we desire to come to. We ought to desire to be around God's people, desire to be around the Word of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And when you come to a place where you don't really care about going to church, there is something well nigh wrong with your heart toward God. Like the two fellows I heard about who were out fishing on a Sunday morning. After several hours of never catching one single fish, one of the fellows said, you know, we probably should have stayed home this morning and gone to church. His friend said, well, he said, if I would have stayed home, I probably wouldn't have gone to church. The other fellow said, why not? He said, because my wife is sick. That's kind of how it works, isn't it? The smallest of things can keep us from doing what God would have us to do. David said, nothing's going to keep me from the house of my God. This one thing am I longing for. But you know, it wasn't just the temple he was longing for. David was also longing for an eternal home in heaven. How many of you remember the 23rd Psalm? Remember saying that as a youngster? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some of you said it before basketball games, hoping it would help you win like a lucky rabbit's foot. But do you remember that last verse, Psalm 23 and verse 6? It's in your notes. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
David said, now I want to see that temple. Oh, I want to worship God there. There's no place like God's house. And that's how we ought to feel about this place and being around God's word. It ought to be special. It ought to be more important than a Super Bowl or a basketball game or a Boy Scout this or a Cub Scout that or a bowling tournament. We ought to put a priority on the kingdom of God and on the house of God. But there's something greater than this, and that's called eternal life in heaven. And the psalmist said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I thank God that on April 5th, 1972, 4289, Yerba Buena Way, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And on that day when I accepted Christ as my Savior, my soul was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I thank God that because of that, I have the hope of eternity in heaven. I have the promise that I'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And my friend, when you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, then you not only get to enjoy the Word of God at church, but you know that you have the promise of a home in heaven for all of eternity. That's why David said, I almost fainted, but then I believed. I stood firm on the truth of God's Word, and because I believed, now I see. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're able to see that there's something greater than this life. For what is this life? It's but a vapor. It's going to be here for a little while and vanish away. Go ahead and worship your job. Go ahead and worship your career. Go ahead and worship your possessions and all of these things. But you're going to miss out on what is most important. What is most important is that which has eternal value attached to it. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about the souls of men. I'm talking about the kingdom of God today. And I trust today that you know Jesus is your Savior. And that you know that heaven is your eternal home, that you can say, I will dwell. David didn't say, I hope I do. I hope I will. Sometimes I ask people, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd spend eternity in heaven? I hope I will, they say. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope you can say that today. And I trust this morning that as you see David's heart, you also see his hope, a heart of belief gives you a vision of hope.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chappell serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that one day heaven will be your eternal home? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, if you have never made the decision to trust Christ as Savior, to consider doing that right now. If you believe that you fall short of the glory of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal, righteous Son of God, then right at this moment you can pray something like this. Dear Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I now put my faith in you and you alone to forgive me and to give me a home in heaven for all of eternity. I invite you into my life to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you just said that prayer, that's the most important prayer we can ever say in this lifetime. Let me encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org for further study helps, and let us know how we can help you grow in the Christian life.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.